may be pleased to help me, friends, and will direct your attention to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. 10th verse, the 41st of Isaiah. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. An old text, friends. It is one that I've spoken from many times, but it is still the Word of God. The Word of the Lord endureth forever. And the power, that is the application of it, belongs to the Eternal Spirit. And the Word then can never become an old Word, can never be worn out. As the Lord is pleased to use it, so it will uphold, support, sustain, deliver His people. Here is the great matter, friends. Who does it apply to? It belongs to a people loved of God, precious in Christ, throughout time and eternity. Belongs to a people loved with an everlasting love. It belongs to a people who are sinners in their flesh, in the time state, and oft times fear they've lost the way, fear they're out of the way, fear they have no God. But a blessed people, in that this word, being the word of the living God, will be applied from time to time, will meet cases, will uphold them, and will in the ultimate, as with all the promises of God, exalt a precious Christ. So this evening, the word, does it speak to you? Does there needs be to ask ourselves from time to time, are we right before God, not before men? That matters not. 'Tis before a holy God. It is essential from time to time to ask ourselves the question, do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? For friends, time is fast hastening away. Eternity is before us each. Shall we be right when the call comes? My friends, the Lord does not give account of His matters. He will not tell us time to depart. He calls, and we leave time. Eternity, it will be as the tree falls, so will it lie. In words that we naturally can understand, my friends, if we die in our sins, we shall go to hell, and that will be eternity. If we die having a knowledge of the mercy of God in the finished work of His own dear Son in our hearts, when the call comes, 'twill be eternal joy immediately. What a need then to be right, friends. an hour, and I stand for assurance. Oh, how many today are satisfied with a little hope. It must be, even as Job spoke, I know that my Redeemer liveth. It must be to be able to say with the psalmist, this God is my God forever and ever. He will be my guide even unto death. The child of God has an entitlement, friends. I know we don't hear these things often. Men, even standing in pulpits, seem afraid to set forth the realities of free and sovereign grace, and that foundation which is immovable, a precious Christ, the eternal rock of ages. If you, my friends, and myself, founded on that rock, set there by the eternal Spirit, according to the eternal purpose of a triune Jehovah before we were born, then we have an assurance, and we have an entitlement before the living God, sinners though we are in our flesh. We have an entitlement in that precious man, the God-man, who lived and died and rose again for us. Who hath given us that new man, which is united to himself, indissolubly united in the ties of everlasting love and precious atoning blood. Who is the character? It must be you. It must be me. The dreadful consequences, friends. If you and I come to the end of the journey and find we've lost the way, we've been misled, we're living on a myth, we come short. The children of God can never come short. The children of God, in the hour and article of death, shall find a precious Christ waiting to carry them over that dark river safely into glory. Who is the character? A sinner saved by grace. And what are the evidences? Whoever seek to trace the way. For friends, there is a beginning, and there is a continuation, and these are evidences. For what God does is perfect. What he begins, he finishes. He calls his dear people out of nature's darkness by the power of his eternal Spirit. He quickens a sinner into life, and he brings him into an intimacy with his own wicked heart, which he had no knowledge of before. For the children of God are not born with manifested grace in their hearts. They have no understanding of the dreadful state they're in, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. They know nothing by nature of the abomination sin is in the sight of a holy God. The Lord brings his dear people into this understanding. Not hearsay, not theory, but he points to them by his eternal Spirit's power. Thou art the man. Gives them knowledge. Makes them pray. Oh, how many pray as the Pharisee prayed. how many are brought up under religion, how many have got religion in their flesh. But the child of God, my friends, is brought into that place of real religion. He walks under the power of God in the knowledge. Real religion's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And so the Lord brings them into that place of reality. God help me. God be merciful to me. Lord, hear my cry. I have no other helper but thee. You've been there, sinner. The Lord puts that cry in the hearts of his dear people, so 'tis certain there'll be an answer. He answers those petitions. He brings them into the experience of that poor man of old. That poor man of whom the Lord Jesus set forth the parable, God be merciful to me, a sinner, poor publican. But he brings his children into the reality of the words spoken about him. This man went down to his house justified. So it is with his dear people. For he brings them into the pathway of living prayer. It is the indicting of the Spirit in his heart. And the Lord hears those things that he has put in a sinner's heart. He answers them. He blesses them. Come in here, can you? Oh, how quickly the enemy comes in. How many times under these things that the enemy says, you haven't got anything to tell. You haven't got anything that you can really speak about. You can't say the Lord has indeed blessed your soul. The child of God so many, many times is cast down under these subtle temptations. But the Lord is a sovereign. He works according to the counsel of his own divine will. He brings his dear people into a knowledge of peace. He gives his people to know an acceptance. If there be not, as the enemy oft times accuses, if there be not that fullness of satisfaction in that one doesn't hear the words, thy sins are all forgiven thee. There is knowledge, my friends, that it is the work of God, because he keeps this poor sinner still pleading. He keeps him still seeking. He doesn't leave him with a self-satisfaction. He continues, and he gets help by the way. Can you come in here? I know, my friends, a sovereign God at times appears quickly. He did so with Saul of Tarsus. Cut him down, and he quickly lifted him up. He blinded him. He opened his eyes in 3 days. But he is a sovereign. If in your case there still is a seeking, it is an evidence, friends, the work is the work of God. And let me tell you quickly, once the Lord puts his hand to it, he doesn't retract. He doesn't turn away. He doesn't cut off. He'll finish the work he has begun. Paul puts it very clearly, having therefore begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We found amongst this people a saved people, loved of God, hidden in Christ from all eternity. Would you stand, sinner? I'll tell you, if the Lord has begun a work in you, you've got a case for him continually. For you'll have an experience. You won't live on dry doctrine. You won't be satisfied with the testimony in the Word. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. You'll want the experience of it. You won't be satisfied with the doctrine of love. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. You'll want to feel it. You won't be satisfied reading in the Word, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You'll want to feel it. Oh, what a way it is. It's an experience, my friends, that only the children of God do know. It is this experience. It's that which the Lord has set forth of his dear servant, the psalmist. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. And again 'twill be, make no tarrying, O my God. The world don't know anything of these things, friends, and the dead professors don't know this way. The children of God, if you've come in some measure in the experience, we've tried to set forth a call by grace, the quickening of the eternal spirit, convincing of sin and leading to Jesus and his precious, precious blood. The pathway will be valleys very often, rivers to cross, high mountains that rise up and there's no way round them. You've got to get over it somehow. Why our word is before you tonight. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. This God who's called the outer nature's darkness, who has foreordained thee to glory, who separated thee in his eternal mind before time began, separating a number whom no man can number from the mass of humanity as yet uncreated, given to Christ, redeemed in the eternal purposes of God before this people had form or substance, saved before they were lost. Oh, the wonders of salvation of this character. Now, in the time state, separated by God to himself, to narrow pathway. And there's a great enemy raises his ugly head, Satan. The world don't know him, they sneer at him, they don't believe it. The dead professor, he's got religion. He's got strength in himself. He despises often. He feels a natural ability able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. But the child of God is laid low again and again. Hence the word that is before you. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Who is it that speaks, my friends? The living God. He who has heaven and earth at his command. The Almighty God. He who is the eternal God, glorious in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. He who is able to do far more exceeding abundantly than we're able to ask or even think. This God is your God, sinner. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. He's with his dear people wherever they are, in every condition. His eye is upon them. He records in the word, the eye of the Lord is upon the righteous, and his ear is open unto their cry. This people are a righteous people in the righteousness of Christ. Not self-righteous, the imputed righteousness of Jesus covers them from top to toe, brings forth the experience of the poet's words, and lest the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found, he took the robe the Saviour wrought and cast it all around. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Maybe a poor sinner here tonight who does fear. And his wondrous mercy, this word doesn't speak only of soul fears. It belongs to temporal things as well. For the child of God moves about in a wicked world, and there are many things that take place in his experience need the living God to hold him up under. Trials of a variety of things. Circumstances go all awry. Many, many times he's found in places the ends of the earth. Feelingly. Someone here in this condition got a trial, can't manage. Hear again the word of God. It is good to be able to look into the word and find something that has a foundation, an unchanging one. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Seek the Lord. Tell him of the word that is before us tonight. This God who delights to hear his people plead his faithfulness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. The enemy may well be saying, you've got no God. We find it in the Psalms. So the psalmist in a particular place, in the 42nd psalm, where the Lord enables him to encourage himself, when he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? But there's reason for it. For he says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. And he has reason for it. For he says, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And this is the pathway, often, of a child of God. The enemy on his back like a leech. He can't shake him off. Can't get rid of him. And there's the trial. What shall I do? How shall I continue? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Nothing comes by chance, my friends. The Lord knows the way you take. Oh, what sweet word that is when it's applied. The language Job used in the midst of his deep trials. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So it'll be with you, poor sinner. The Lord has indeed set within your heart his precious grace. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He has left on record that word which was given to the children of Israel as they traversed the wilderness, which was to be 40 years. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. That word speaks to all his dear people in all their trying circumstances. And again, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. But the child of God says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I can't rest on the letter of truth. Appear for me, Lord. When the Lord speaks to his dear people in this way, fear thou not, it is because he will help them. Tis because he intends to help them. It is because he knows that point of deliverance, the time of it. There will be deliverance. There will be a way made. What a mercy, friends, to have the God of Jacob is your helper. There is a sweet little word again of encouragement. Happy is he who hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Is that where you come? Sometimes. Perhaps tonight there is the need for this word. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Oh, what mercy here, friends. Child of God at the ends of the earth, what shall I do? How shall I stand the trying day? Yet again, the pathway set forth so clearly in the Word of God. The psalmist, in the 77th psalm, we find him saying, will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Is this your condition? The enemy attacking again and again. You're in darkness without any light. The enemy telling you the Lord has forgotten you. He will come, poor sinner. I will strengthen thee. How? As he did the psalmist. He brought him ultimately to this place. This is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Can't you do that? The Lord, having dealt with you in such mercy, brought you out of nature's darkness, taught you how to pray. Have there been no times in the past when he's blessed you in that he's made a way for you? Well, there's been no way naturally. Where he's opened a door where every other door was shut. And that door was the door of his mercy. He said, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Not of necessity, the actual words, but the realization of that in experience. it your infirmity, poor sinner? 'Tis indeed. The child of God has this infirmity. When things go wrong, he doesn't immediately fly to his God. He's like the poor woman in the gospel, the woman with the issue of blood. So frequently he runs hither and thither seeking deliverance in something other than his God. What mercy, friends. The Lord says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. This God knows the end from the beginning. But can we look at the reason for the trial? One who may be here tonight with a burden, and the Lord oft times, when he puts a burden on his dear people, it's a real one. It's something you feel, a deep place. Can we find some reason for it? For how often times the enemy comes in like a flood and says, why this God who has a people? He's a God of love. He loves his dear people in his dear Son. He doesn't bring them into dark places, trying places, where they're in trouble. But my friends, this great adversary is a liar. He ever will be. Your God chastens for sin. And the child of God in his flesh is a sinner still. Hear Paul's words. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Any better than Paul? The child of God still has the old man. Mercy is that in every believer two armies are seen. The new man of grace, but there's still the old man of sin. The child of God is chastened by his God. But he gets into places where he wouldn't be when he's in his right mind. And when he's helped, when he feels the blessing of the Lord, when his eyes are fixed on Jesus, there are times when the enemy comes in like a flood. He knows your disposition. He knows the tendencies to evil in your heart. He tempts and you fall. Child of God does fall. None are righteous. No, not one. Close it comes, my friends. The word of God declares, if any man says he has no sin, the truth is not in him. He makes God a liar. It is sin that brings the dear people of God into trying places frequently. The Lord lays his hand upon them. They find things go wrong, circumstances change, trials come and they can't manage. Makes you pray, sinner. 'Tis mercy, wondrous mercy. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Though it be sin that brings you into a dark place, the Lord will turn again, cause his face to shine, bring you to his feet, and he'll open up the language of the poet to you. Trials make the promise sweet, Trials bring new life to prayer. Trials lay us at his feet, lay us low, and keep us there. But oh, how sweet it is to hear his voice. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Poor sinner, the precious Christ stands between. He is the right hand of his righteousness, the living Jesus. Let's hear the account again, friends. It is the foundation of these blessed truths. The eternal Son of God laid aside his glory for a while. He came into this lower world, born of a woman under the law, made flesh and blood without sin, to redeem you. Must be so. Came into this world to seek and to save those that were lost, to redeem a people given to him in eternity past by God the Father, people to be redeemed with an everlasting salvation. And he entered into the sufferings of the damned in a holy body, bearing the curse. Your sin and mine, I hope, laid upon his dear back. Walked through this lower world, buffeted by man and devil. He had essentially a need to commune with the God of his holy manhood, God his Father. In those terrible temptations, 40 days in the wilderness, angels were sent down to succor him at the end of that period of time. The agonies he suffered in his holy soul, never to fall under the temptation. Dreadful sufferings in Gethsemane's garden as he fought the powers of hell. That deep exercise before his Father, as he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, seeing a people loved with an everlasting love. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, taken by wicked hands, taken before a human judge, condemned against that man's own opinion, knowledge. For he knew, I find no fault in this man. Must, according to the eternal purposes of a triune Jehovah, be taken to Calvary's tree. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He must suffer those dreadful physical sufferings, nailed to that cursed cross of Calvary. Must enter into that dreadful suffering in his holy soul, darkness that no human tongue will ever be able to set forth in the knowledge of it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he gave up the ghost. He cried in ecstasy, it is finished. The work of salvation completed. Redemption for every chosen vessel of mercy. You amongst this people, have you any knowledge of this precious word before us? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You walked it out, sinner. You've been in those places where no man could help you. You've been in those places where there was no help in self. You've been in that place where you poured out your heart before your God and found his word to be very true. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This God, my friends, is the God of a people whom he has decreed shall one day enter into glory. Be around the throne, telling of salvation, praising the Lamb that was slain, the precious Christ. Will you be there? The poet says, there I shall see his face and never, never sin, and from the rivers of his grace drink endless pleasures in. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Oh, isn't it a time that we're passing through now when this word is particularly suitable? The fears that are in the land today and in our heart surely at times, what may take place? The dangers of war and all that it means. What infinite mercy if you and I are able to say, Lord, thou knowest. Undertake. Lord, have mercy. What a favor it is if you and I know this God, so that grace brings us into that place where we can commune with him and plead for Jesus' sake. Lord, whatever be the way, hold me up. This God is the living God. He knows all those for whom he died. Not one shall be lost. And whatever trials you and I may enter into, if this God is with us, what does it matter what comes? For the child of God does prove from time to time this Jesus does say in the midst of trouble, peace, be still, even as he did to his disciples in the days of his flesh. This is the same God who enabled the psalmist to leave on record, be still, and know that I am God. And able to say it not just for the sake of saying it, but to say it with the experience of knowledge. For he opens that psalm with, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That didn't spring out of nature's barren ground, was under the knowledge that this God was his God. Is this God your God, friends? For the time, we say it again, the time is fast approaching. The youngest of us, the oldest of us, all men must die, and after death, the judgment. But if you and I are found hidden in Christ, in that great day of change, 'twill be a glorious day. 'Twill be to be swallowed up in everlasting love forever. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Lord, have his blessing. In his name.